to get an hour presentation down to 30 minutes, but it can be done. And then we've got actually 16 26-minute lessons that are now posted on our website. And difficult to know which of those 16 we choose. If I have one shot on college campus, usually this is where I go, the Record of the Rocks. And I think I can make a case that they cannot respond to. Now, if I'm going to debate, I usually go with the Fossil Record, which is another presentation. But one presentation to a college class, I think this is powerful evidence. The Record of the Rocks. They're told that the rocks say evolution. I don't believe that's true at all. We're not talking about rocks in general. We're talking about sedimentary rocks. That's rocks laid down by water. And we have the continents covered with about a mile and a half of sedimentary rock on the average. Some places you don't have any, in some places up to 5 miles, but there's an average across the globe of about a mile and a half of sedimentary rock with billions and billions of dead things in it. I think I know what caused that. They have a different view, the evolutionists. Interestingly, when you look on Mars, they have, I think, a very reasonable explanation. Now, there's no water up there now. The Earth's covered by, 70% of it's covered by oceans, plenty of water. But on Mars, they see the horizontal layers, catastrophic floods, we're told, and discover, rapidly carve the surface of Mars. Or here in Nature, probably the leading scientific journal in the world, 2020, here's Mars Noachian, referring to NOAA, stratigraphic record. And there's no water up there. But this looks like a flood because you've got horizontal layers laid down by water. But when we look to the Earth, then we see billions and billions of dead things and a mile and a half of sedimentary rock covering the continents. They don't see the flood at all. They will tell you this was done slowly, gradually over millions of years, reflecting an evolutionary process, which I don't believe is the case. I explain it in terms of a rapid, high-energy, catastrophic event over a year's time that we see described in Scripture, which we can then test with the real world. Now, the evolutionary explanation looks something like this, and this is what you see in the textbooks, the geologic column, and we're told it starts simple and gets more and more complex through millions of years. Millions of years they've imposed on it, that's another subject. But this is supposed to represent the gradual development. The big problem with this is that you can't dig down in the earth and find that sequence anywhere. It's pieced together, as they acknowledge, by correlation, not based on what you find when you dig down in the earth. Leighton Judson, in their geology text, Physical Geology, say because we cannot find sedimentary rocks of all representing all of Earth time in one convenient area. Now, you've got that picture in the textbooks, but you can't find it anywhere. We must piece together the rock sequence from locality to locality, some from Texas and some from Canada and some from China, and you piece it together. This process of tying one rock sequence in one place to another in some other place is known as correlation. So it's co-related. Well, how do you know what goes where? Well, of course, that's the assumption. They begin with evolution, and so the simple goes on bottom. But it is not what you find when you dig down in the earth. As we read here in the Encyclopedia Britannica, it's a mental abstraction called the geologic column. But it's put together how? How do they correlate it? R.H. Rastall, Cambridge University, writing in the Encyclopedia Britannica, says it cannot be denied that geologists are here arguing in a circle. The succession of organisms has been determined by a study of their remains embedded in the rocks. The relative ages of the rocks are determined by the organisms they contain. In other words, a person says this is a primitive fossil. Okay, how do you know that? Well, it's found in an old rock. All right. How do you know that this is an old rock? Well, it's got a primitive fossil in it. Round and round you go, and you're obviously not proving anything, but if you begin with the assumption of millions of years and evolution, then you can build it. What you actually find is described more accurately here by David Rapp, who's curator at the Field Museum of Natural History, the largest fossil museum in the United States, in Chicago, writing a New Scientist. He says, in the years after Darwin, his advocates hoped to find predictable progressions. In general, these have not been found, yet the optimism has died hard and some pure fantasy has crept into the textbooks. And that's what we're looking here in terms of actual hard evidence. It's a mental abstraction that is very skewed, that you can see very different from the real world pretty easily. For one thing, what you're looking at here are vertebrates. Almost all of them, vertebrates, animals with backbone. That's not what you see in the fossil record. At least 95% are marine invertebrates. 4.5% of that 5% that's left are plants and animals. They're actually about 1/100th of 1%. Not, well, 1/100th of 1% that are actual vertebrates, and most of those are fish. But that's not what you see in the column. What you see is almost all vertebrates. If they showed it as marine invertebrates, mostly fish otherwise, it would look a lot like a flood deposit, wouldn't it? They don't want that shown, and so they skew it. If you want a good explanation of what you see in the sedimentary record today, the book The Global Floods by John Morris is a good source, and I would highly recommend it. But looking at their representation of this mile and a half of sedimentary rock that covers the continents, it is skewed, that is, not vertebrates, but marine invertebrates. It's a conceptual correlation, and it's useless as proof in that it's circular. It does not prove anything. It is useful, I believe, as a model. Circular logic is actually what we're doing in science when we propose a model. Here is an idea. Let's see if the facts fit it. Now, we don't propose the idea and say because we proposed it and drawn a picture of it, there's proof. Now, we look at the real world to see if it fits and test it. Well, how do you test it? This geologic column. We'll allow Stephen Stanley of Johns Hopkins to describe how you do that. He says you do it with topsy-turvy fossils. It would disprove evolution. Any topsy-turvy sequence of fossils would force us to rethink our theory. Now, they're supposed to be in this order, but if you find things supposed to be down at the bottom that are up at the top, then you've got a contradiction. That's a topsy-turvy fossil. That's really a topsy fossil, as we'll call it. But that's really not uncommon. That is, things supposed to be at the bottom that are found at the top. One clear example here from 2021, description of the horseshoe crab, first appeared 450 million years ago. I don't buy their timetable, but we'll play the game their way to see how it comes out. They remain relatively unchanged morphologically, that is the shape, what you're looking at, since this extreme ancient date. Keith Thompson, president of the Academy of Natural Sciences, says the first members of this group look quite like, what? Like modern forms, but they started down at the bottom of the geologic column, and here they are at the top. The last fossils became extinct about 50 million years ago. Of course, fossils don't become extinct. Critters do. Why does he say they became extinct? Well, you get this far in the column and you don't find them above, so they're extinct, right? No, because they're all over the place now. They're still alive, but you don't find them in the column above a certain spot. I think the column represents what was alive at the time of the flood, and they got buried where they lived. And you see an order of ecology all at one time. But the idea of extinction, because it doesn't go above a certain point in the column, is falsified. They appeared 470 million years ago. They went extinct 50 million years ago. And they're still running around all over the place today. Supposed to be down up. That's the Topsy fossil. Well, the real evidence, though, is what we'll call the Turvey fossil, what's supposed to be down up. Here, they acknowledge, yeah, if it hadn't evolved yet, you can't find it down at the bottom. That would just really mess things up. As Richard Dawkins says, would be very surprised, for example, to find humans appearing in the record before mammals are supposed to have evolved. That would rip it. Our whole modern theory of evolution would be utterly destroyed. Or as he says in Newsweek, if evolution could be so easily disproved, if a single fossil turned up in the wrong date order, even a single fossil in the wrong date stratum, well, we found that all the time. We find lots of examples, and they get very excited about it and do everything they can to explain it away. Here are perfectly modern human bones that are found in the Dakota Sandstone, which is what we find at the Dinosaur National Monument. It's supposed to be 110 million years ago, and supposed to have been around maybe a couple of million. This is exactly what he's saying you shouldn't be able to find. But if you're dealing with bones, you can have them fall down a crack. You can imagine they erode and redeposit. They may be crawling back in a cave. All kinds of explanations that are ad hoc, that is, without evidence. We went to the site. This is there in Utah, just below Moab. And in this spot, you see the backhoe there, 50 feet down in the Dakota Sandstone, where you find dinosaurs, you see the human bones here stained green, replaced with malachite, which would indicate this certainly not a recent burial. It takes maybe 1,000 years for that. And there are other indications that they're very old, no collagen at all. Some of them replaced with turquoise. This is jewelry grade turquoise found 50 feet down in the Dakota Sandstone. This is definitely a Turvey fossil found with the dinosaurs. Well, that's what Dawkins said would utterly destroy or disprove, but it has to be intrusionally buried because humans didn't live back there. So it was a mine cave-in, maybe. Well, of the 11 human skeletons that we found there, 4 of them are female. 1 of them was an infant. There are no broken bones and no tools. It doesn't sound like a mine cave-in, does it? No evidence of that whatsoever. He continues, saying, ironically, it's also the reason why creationists are so keen on the fake human footprints, which were carved during the Depression, the fool tourist in the dinosaur beds of Texas. Well, of course, he didn't see anybody carve anything. This, though, has to be because he knows they're 100 million years apart, and here they are both in the same rock, so they have to be fake. And we've provided evidence he just doesn't want to come look. But the real problem with the footprints, more so than the bones, is that they can't be intrusionally buried. They are where they're at. You erode them, they're gone. You can't erode them and redeposit them. They can't fall down a crack. That's where they're at. And so they actually make better evidence. Dinosaur Valley State Park near Glen Rose, Texas, about 60 miles south, a little west of Dallas, has the Biloxi River running through it, and there are lots of dinosaur tracks that are exposed by the erosion of this river. There's a fellow in a pretty large sauropod found back in the 40s. Roland T. Byrd in the American Museum of Natural History said when he found these, he saw what looked like human tracks there. Obviously, they couldn't be, but that's what it looked like. He got in trouble over that. But anyway, we've continued to examine that. Some of them are raised, as you see here. How do you explain a raised track? It's supposed to be depressed, right? Well, if it is depressed and then filled in later with material that is infill, and that infill becomes harder, and then erosion exposes it, the infill then is raised while the rest of it erodes away. Now, that raised infill becomes important for some tracks that we'll look at in a moment. Most of them, though, look like tracks you would expect. This was found there in the Glen Rose limestone, supposed to be 110 million years old, with the dinosaur tracks, famous for the dinosaur tracks. Well, maybe they were carved. So Stan Taylor decided to look back up under the riverbank. Here's 6 feet of alternating clay, limestone. And so he moves these layers to see if the trail continues. And sure enough, it does. He found 12 more tracks in a right-left pattern. Very human-looking shape with the mud push-up around it. The one that really persuaded me was this one, which is kind of in the middle of this trail. And you have to look at it pretty closely. Here's the dinosaur track. That's about 25 inches, but right in the middle of it, you got a very human looking shape, all five toes, instep and heel. I presented this at a science meeting in Tennessee, and the fellow who had gotten the Humanist of the Year award for claiming these were just eroded dinosaur tracks got very upset. Got a plane the next day, the next afternoon, he was in the river with an iron bar, and that's what it looked like when he got through with it. Just beat it up. But we have stereo photographs, we have cast. He just showed how important that evidence was. On up ahead, you see another track, and in this platform there's 134 dinosaur tracks with a trail of now 14 human tracks going through the middle of it, some across, some beside. But here the three-toed anterior portion is seen with that human track and stepping in it. Looking at a side view, you put the human foot in, and that molded fit is very persuasive. Now, this is a right directly ahead of it, is left, and it's right, left for 14. Looking at a side view of that track, you see the left, but beside it, completely outside, here is the dinosaur track. We have a complete trail of 14 in a right-left pattern going up the center of the slide with dinosaur trail coming across it, which then extends for 500 feet back in the other direction. Perfect dinosaur tracks. But looking at the human trail, you see they're very consistent in length. Seven of them have individual toes. You can distinguish right from left in 12 of the 14, but all of them have at least a general human shape. Now, this is the way you do science. You analyze it, see if this fits. We did a test, blind test at Kansas State University in the psych department, to life-size pictures of these rights or lefts, and they were 87.5% just exactly as predicted. The two that weren't discernible were kind of back and forth, but it's exactly as we predicted. I think that's really good evidence. This is called the Taylor Trail. I presented this in a science meeting at the University of Tennessee. 50 grad students, head of the department, sat there and listened, finished, and the kids all turned around, what are you going to say? What's the head of the department going to say in response? And he thought a minute, he said, well, of course, we don't know that there weren't dinosaurs back there with human feet. And I said, well, I guess that's true. We also don't know there weren't humans back there with dinosaur feet. Wouldn't that make about as much sense? No, he wouldn't agree with that. And I said, well, these things that look like dinosaur feet, more likely made by dinosaurs, right? Well, yeah, well, these things made by, that look like human feet, ought to be made by human. No, he wouldn't agree. I said, well, if they were human tracks, would they look any different? And he got up and left. That was end of the discussion. Chuck Finsley, who is curator of the American Museum, that is the Dallas Museum of Natural History, came down, wanted to display one of the dinosaurs we'd excavated, and we made him look at the tracks. He got upset, left, and came back because he really wanted the dinosaur to display. About the third time, he said, Dr. Patton, we've come up with a good explanation. We know how to explain this. We think these human-looking tracks were made by aliens. And he was serious. He got kind of miffed when I snickered. And I said, well, Chuck, if they came from a galaxy far, far away, they'd be pretty bright, probably more advanced than we are. What are they doing running around barefooted? Then he really got mad. But we're having fun. I think this is the perfect Kirby fossil. They can't be intrusionally buried. You can't erode and redeposit footprints. They're not carved because they're under the overburden or erosion, right, left, or 14. And you can talk about dinosaurs with human feet and maybe aliens. Which is the better explanation? Maybe it's what it looks like. No, that's not the way you do science. You can imagine most anything. Maybe it was an alien dinosaur with human feet, you know, put it together. That's not science. Just go with what it says. We continued that trail over 500 feet. That's the longest consecutive dinosaur trail on the American continent. They're really beautiful tracks. And we were told, okay, well, you need more evidence. 14 in a right-left pattern compared to 54 dinosaur tracks. Okay, ahead of the fella at the end of the trail is another platform, so we excavated that down to the print layer. And sure enough, there we found more tracks, almost 100 dinosaur tracks, but right through the middle, a 15 track. Sequence of human tracks. Here two in the center, and the two dinosaur tracks are mates. Here it's slightly raised, that raised phenomenon we described earlier, the harder infill. Both of them different type dinosaur. This is the duck-billed dinosaur with the duck foot. But look at the one on the right. Something stepped in the back end of it. Looking more closely at that one, here is the dinosaur footprint, slightly raised, but the depressed track is a very human shape. You can actually count the joints in the toes. That's a perfect track. And they're not saying we need more evidence now. That's in a sequence of 14, right, left, right, left. Then several years later, this one was found about 50 yards ahead. The one who found this only saw the dinosaur track initially, took it home, cleaned it up, and saw, well, wait a minute, here is a human track right there in the same rock. Well, maybe somebody carved that. That's, of course, the first explanation they came up with. So we verified it with a spiral CAT scan. Here is a virtual slice right through the rock. We didn't want to cut it or destroy it. But that slice goes here. You can see where the dinosaur toe is, corresponding with the line below, and then where the human toe is, with the human toe down here. But look under that human toe in the slice. You see the disturbed material underneath, following the contours. If it were carved, it would cut across contours. The following contour says this is not carved. It is verified. I think that's just almost too good to be true. I mean, that's just perfect, verified all the way to the bottom. Now, this is the Glen Rose limestone that is supposed to be deposited with a local flood. But what we find is that Glen Rose limestone extends all the way to the middle of Arkansas. And here we see pictures of what the University of Arkansas has identified as the same layer with the same dinosaur tracks. Right here, you may recognize some of these people that helped us excavate. Here, the three-toed dinosaur tracks, as well as the big sauropods. We had a good crew. Some of them have grown up in the years that intervened. They do that pretty quickly nowadays. But that extends from Glen Rose, Texas, near Dallas, all the way. That's a big local flood. I don't think there's anything local about that. I think the evidence that we have here is powerful evidence. Just quickly looking at the significance of this, according to the leading authorities, evolution would be vanquished. Louis Jacobs, president of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology, Stephen Stanley of Johns Hopkins would disprove evolution. Jerry Cohn, one of the most vicious anti-creationists in the country at the University of Chicago, it would be an ugly fact that would kill Darwinism. You find humans and dinosaurs together. And then our friend Richard Dawkins, friend in quotes, evolution would be utterly destroyed. Evolution would be disproved, would blow the theory of evolution out of the water. Well, you decide for yourself. This is a model to be tested. Comparing it with the real world, we find contradictions all over the place. You've seen one small portion of this evidence. You multiply that by about 10 and you get a hard time getting it in an hour. But there are lots of evidences that show that geologic column does not fit the real world. NOVA came down to Glen Rose, their photographers came back very excited with the evidence that was squelched. But they did put out a brief video, God, Darwin and the Dinosaurs, dinosaur prints side by side with humans. Well, they deny there's anything like that there, and that said very plainly in the video. Well, we've got the evidence, but they're not going to acknowledge that. Finding them would counter evidence that humans evolved long after the dinosaurs became extinct, and back up the claim that all species, including man, were created at one time. That's why they say no human tracks there. Well, if there is, I agree. They've got the right conclusion, as do the other authorities. I think there's plenty of proof, not just here, but around the world. And we'll let you look at the evidence and decide for yourself. I think we finished on time. We've got 5 minutes. Okay, time for questions. Who has a question? I've got 35 minutes on my clock here. Yes, sir.
About what time frame was all the footprint of humans and dinosaurs discovered?
First discovered back in 1910, Charlie Moss. Then it just kind of got lost, but then rediscovered by Roland T. Byrd in 1947 and published in the American Museum of Natural History publication. Originally laid down, I think they were all running from the flood. I think this is a flood deposit. You've got quite a bit of sediment below. This is the latter stages of the flood. Texas has very interesting geological formation. I won't take time to do all of it, but if you're familiar with Enchanted Rock, this is the granite outcrop down in the direction of Fredericksburg that pokes out, and this is the basement complex that pokes out. The sediment comes up like this. I think that was a mountain at the time of the flood. Here's the sediment that was laid down, and they were all running. I think the top of that rock got very, very interesting toward just a few weeks later, all, of course, perishing in the flood. Normally it takes me at least 30 minutes to say that, but that's saying it very quickly. Brother Bonner can probably tell us more exactly than I can.
Between Nashua and Nathan.
You got to go through about 6 of the Weyerhaeuser gates to get there. Good questions. Who else curious?
It's a private landowner. They had no advertising.
Right. We may be doing some more work there if we can get Brother Bonner to help us arrange that. Maybe some others would be interested in helping us excavate. We excavated 8 new dinosaur tracks that had never been seen before. We didn't find the human tracks, but then we didn't do but 8. We're not through yet. Yes. We hope to be leaving August the 8th for the Ark. We have a 100-foot section that's been located, that's not under the ice, broken off, slid down. We've got some challenges right now, but... What's that?
Permits, all that's still a big problem.
That's not the problem at this point. We've got that solved. We've been a terrorist for the last 5 years. According to a fellow who claimed he'd found the Ark and didn't want me over there exposing him. He made that charge. We had to go through the courts. And that's all been cleared up, and we have the permits. We are ready to go. Our funding got yanked out from under us last week, so we're scrambling. My wife has a good job. She's been very helpful in the past, but we've drained her retirement fund, so we expect to be leaving one way or the other about the middle of August, and it shouldn't take that long. We'll be taken to it by somebody who knows very well exactly where it is. That'll be exciting. If you get a vessel almost 2 football fields long, that's 3.5 miles up, I mean, that just has tremendous implications. You cannot have a 3-mile-high local flood. And if you've got a universal flood, then you've got a good explanation for all these layers with billions of dead things in it. And our explanation works. And I think we'll get some attention. Appreciate your prayers for our success there.